Blog Talk Radio.
In the desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast today. Today is Thursday, November 19th, 2020, and on this special broadcast of The Cross in the Desert, I'm going to continue talking about the absolute election fraud and chaos that has been going on since the election on November 3rd. It's over 2 weeks now, as the Trump team is challenging the fraud, the irregularities, the banning of poll watchers to certify and to observe what was going on. And we can say with much certainty that there is deliberate fraud in some cases, there is irregularities, mistakes, and improprieties in other cases. Just recently, there was thousands of votes, irregularities found in Michigan. The GOP challenged it, and they were branded as racist for even bringing up the issue, and then the committee there went ahead and certified the votes in Wayne County. So there are some real legal challenges going forth in Michigan, in Georgia, and Pennsylvania. And today on the broadcast, I want us to listen very carefully to one of Trump's lawyers. She has an impeccable reputation. She defended Michael Flynn recently. Her name is Sidney Powell. And the reason I want you to hear what Sidney Powell says is because it is mind-boggling. This could absolutely change and overturn the course of this election. And Sidney Powell says, "I never say anything that I cannot prove." She's very adamant about this. She was just recently on Fox on the Maria Bartiromo program and was on there for approximately half an hour talking about the issue of Dominion, the software used in many of the states for this election. But I'm going to put myself aside. I want you to hear this very incredible interview, because if Sidney Powell when she brings this evidence and whistleblowers to court. If she has good rapport with the judges and they listen to the evidence carefully, this could overturn this election and certify Donald Trump as the winner. It's that radical. It's that big. It's that important. So without any further ado, I want you to listen to part one right now of Sidney Powell on the Maria Bartiromo Show this past Sunday. Let's listen.
2,000 jurisdictions in 30 states. According to experts, if one site has a flaw, other sites are likely to as well, which is why Texas rejected using Dominion software three times, raising concerns that the system was not safe from fraudulent or unauthorized manipulation. That's troubling, given we already know that at least two software glitches in Georgia and Michigan occurred on election night. Attorney Sidney Powell is leading the charge against Dominion, and she says she has enough evidence of fraud to launch a massive criminal investigation. Sidney, thanks very much for being here. We appreciate your time this morning. I want to get right into it. We just heard about the software made by Smartmatic from Rudy, and I want to get your take on what you report, what you and I spoke about just a few minutes ago, and that is a gentleman named Peter Neffringer. Tell me how he fits into all of this.
Yes, well, he is listed as its former Admiral Peter Neffringer, or retired Admiral Peter Neffringer. He is president and on the board of directors of Smartmatic. And it just so happens he's on Mr. Biden's presidential transition team that's going to be non-existent because we're fixing to overturn the results of the election in multiple states. And President Trump won by not just hundreds of thousands of votes, but by millions of votes that were shifted by this software that was designed expressly for that purpose. We have sworn witness testimony of why the software was designed. It was designed to rig elections. He was fully briefed on it. He saw it happen in other countries. It was exported internationally for profit by the people that are behind Smartmatic and Dominion. They did this on purpose. It was calculated. They've done it before. We have evidence from 2016 in California. We have so much evidence, I feel like it's coming in through a fire hose.
Wow. So, Sidney, you feel that you will be able to prove this. Do you have the software in your possession? Do you have the hardware in your possession? How will you prove this, Sidney?
Well, I've got lots of ways to prove it, Maria, but I'm not going to tell on national TV what all we have. I just can't do that.
Okay, but you have a small time frame here. The elections are supposed to be certified in early December. Do you believe that you can present this to the courts and be successful within this just couple of weeks?
Well, let me put it this way. First of all, I never say anything I can't prove. Secondly, the evidence is coming in so fast, I can't even process it all. Millions of Americans have written, I would say by now, definitely hundreds of thousands have stepped forward with their different experiences of voter fraud. But this is a massive election fraud, and I'm very concerned it involved not only Dominion and its Smartmatic software, but that the software essentially was used by other election machines also. It's the software that was the problem. Even their own manual explains how votes can be wiped away. They can put, it's like drag and drop Trump votes to a separate folder and then delete that folder. It's absolutely brazen how people bought this system and why they bought this system. In fact, every state that bought Dominion for sure should have a criminal investigation or at least a serious investigation of the officers in the states who bought the software. We've even got evidence of some kickbacks, essentially.
Kickbacks. I want to take a short break and come back on that. And I want to ask you about the kickbacks and who took kickbacks in which states. Sidney, stay with us. Quick break, and we've got more breaking news this morning from Sidney Powell. Stay with us.
This is mind-boggling. It's very serious. It's a very serious accusation to make to say that this software was deliberately used in an attempt to thwart the election, the will of the people. Understand something here. We live in a free society, a republic, a constitutional republic. We are notorious for having free and fair elections, unlike places like Iran or Venezuela or et cetera, et cetera. That is our pedigree. That is our history. The integrity of this election is at stake. And you ask yourself, wait a minute, why would anyone engage in fraud like this? Well, it's very obvious to me and to you. You watch the Trump rallies. You compare it with the Biden rallies. Biden did not have the support and the integrity of a President Trump. And you can look at the rallies and make up your own mind yourself. And then you ask yourself the question, this is a man who has some serious neurological issues as well. And he's a puppet for the Democratic Party. And so putting all these things together, when you have the testimony of poll watchers in Michigan that were prohibited for getting close to examining the process, and all of these votes that they were not allowed to examine went for Joe Biden, you have the election stopping at 4 in the morning, and then a dump of Biden votes that put him ahead in all of these battleground states took place. Sidney Powell, through investigative work, through whistleblowers, through examining the software, through looking at the history of how this software has been used, has very strong evidence for deliberate fraud. And I know it's mind-boggling that our country would have to stoop and behave like a banana republic. We're the United States of America. We should never have to stoop to this level. But that's what's happened. And I'm going to play part two of this interview. But before that, I want to share an article recently written by my wife, Becky, who is on her way, nearly finished with her degree at Regent University in journalism. And she writes for Politichicks. And oh, I'm so proud of her for all of her accomplishments. It won't be very long, and she'll be graduating and hopefully very soon writing online. I want to read to you a recent article she wrote in lieu of this election. It's called A Republic If You Can Keep It. Here is Becky Noble. The men who signed their names to such documents as the Declaration of Independence and Constitution did so knowing they were risking their lives in doing so. They did it anyway. While most of those signatures came from men born in England, they wanted something different for their children who were natural-born Americans. They wanted something permanent and lasting. They wanted to pass down a nation that would be free, a nation where its citizens determined their own destiny, were the masters of their own free will without an all-seeing, overarching government involved in every aspect of their lives. They wanted to ensure that future generations would elect their own representatives and leaders in fair and honest elections. Sometimes their candidates would win. True. Sometimes they would not. But in every case, the elections would determine the will of the people, and each time there would be a peaceful transfer of power, and the work of America would go on. But something happened on the way to the 2020 election. Actually, it began long before the election. Some might argue that it started back in February as coronavirus began its grip on our nation. Did a certain group of people, both elected and unelected, realize they might have something that would be of some help long about November? We may never know. What we do know right now is that hatred and power, well, they're intoxicating motives. What started out as an election may have had all the earmarks of yet another soft coup. The pathological hatred that Democrats and the left have for Donald Trump has been on full display for 4 long years. The reasons have become clearer with each new manufactured scandal. Donald Trump is an outsider. He is not a politician, and his intent on arriving in Washington was to work for the American people and drain the swamp of D.C. politics. He had succeeded in doing one, and we can only guess that he was well on his way to doing the other. The Democrats and the media, one and the same, knew they had one last chance. It started pretty early on election night. States had less than 1% of the vote counted. They were being called for Joe Biden. But Donald Trump began to pick up some speed and began to win states. As battleground states began looking like they would swing for Trump, something happened. everything stopped. No more votes were tallied. No more states called. As the wee hours of the morning rolled around, some states even declared they would stop counting for the night. What was going on? When the engine started back up again, the mainstream media, along with their newest member, Fox News, began calling states for Joe Biden. In some of those states, voting was still going on. The theft of the 2020 presidential campaign is in full swing. The heist has several components. We now know why the Democrats pushed so hard for mail-in ballots. It's because of COVID, they screamed. No, it's not because of COVID. COVID is what gave them the means to foist a disaster like mail-in ballots on the American people. Democrats figures that if they scared enough people into swaying away from the polls, that part of the scheme would work. If we are going to talk about mail-in voting, we also need to address early voting. What exactly is the purpose behind early voting? We are told that it is merely a convenience so people can avoid long lines on election day. So we were treated to nightly video footage of people telling tales of waiting in line for up to 2 hours to vote early, wait for it so they could avoid a long line on election day. No, the purpose of early voting is to have a backup to mail-in voting. It is designed for one thing: fraud. Despite the fact that Joe Biden and his toadies in the mainstream media have taken to calling him president-elect, there are a lot of ballots to be counted. Most credible news outlets have pulled places like Pennsylvania and Arizona out of the win column for Joe Biden because they're still a toss-up. According to the Heritage Foundation's, instances of blatant fraud have been found in at least 10 states. Here is the question that no one will pose. Is this now an invalid election? Are the current results so skewed and tainted that we will never get an accurate count with the state of these ballots? More and more people are saying yes. Yes, this election is invalid. Illegal votes are not to be counted. Not allowing Republican observers into the counting process and other clear instances that have been witnessed violate federal election law. This goes beyond Donald Trump in 2020. Election integrity is one of the hallmarks of our republic. If we do not weed out election and voter fraud wherever it is, not only will Republican candidates not win another election, but half of the population of the country will believe that their vote does not count and is therefore ignored, thrown away, or in some other way discounted. This causes incalculable damage to our nation and the ideas and values that all Americans, regardless of party, should hold dear. The idea that they can vote freely and without fear of dishonesty for the candidate of their choice. If that goes away, then our nation as a whole, frankly, has been violated, possibly beyond repair. Not as conservatives and Republicans, we must fight this to the end, wherever that takes us, but as Americans, if we have any chance to keep our Republican. That's an excellent article, and I know I sound biased because I'm the husband, but it is well written with the facts, and it points out that our country is in danger of losing its election integrity if this voting fraud is not exposed. I want to take us right now back to the interview with Sidney Powell and Maria Bartiromo. This is part two. Let's listen.
Welcome back. We are back with attorney Sidney Powell, who's part of President Trump's legal team. Sidney, before we went to the break, we talked about, you said that there may have been kickbacks to some people who accepted the Dominion software. Tell me what you mean.
Well, I mean, we are collecting evidence now from various whistleblowers that are aware of substantial sums of money being given to family members of state officials who bought the software. I mean, we're talking about $100 million packages for new voting machines suddenly in multiple states. And benefits ranging from financial benefits for family members to sort of what I would call election insurance, because they know that they can win the election if they are using that software. It's really an insidious, corrupt system, and I can't tell you how livid I am with our government for not paying attention to complaints even brought by Democrats Carolyn Maloney, Elizabeth Warren, Amy Klobuchar over the last several years in written letters with expert reports and some documentation of how corrupt this software is, and nobody in our government has paid any attention to it, which makes me wonder how much the CIA has used it for its own benefit in different places, and why Gina Haspel is still there in the CIA is beyond my comprehension. She should be fired immediately.
Which governor or which government official accepted hundreds of millions of dollars in benefits for their family as they took on this software?
If I said hundreds of millions of dollars there, I misspoke. I don't know the exact amount of money yet. We are still collecting the evidence on that, but it's more than one.
Okay, so you can't say who you believe took kickbacks. What is the CIA's role? Why do you think Gina Haspel should be fired immediately? You're saying that the CIA is behind the Dominion or Smartmatic voting software as well?
Well, the CIA and the FBI and other government organizations have received multiple reports of wrongdoing and failures and vulnerabilities in this company's product. Their own manual, if you sat down and read it, would explain how and why no honest person would use this system. And it's not just Dominion. There are other companies in the voting machine business in this country, too, that may very well and are likely using the same software. We've detected voting irregularities that are inexplicable and align with these problems in other states that think they have valid systems. But the people who bought the Dominion system for sure knew exactly what they were getting. It should never have been installed anywhere. And we are going to show the public exactly how rotten the entire state is.
Now, I have spoken with a few whistleblowers myself this weekend. And one source who is an IT specialist told me that he knows the software and specifically advised people in Texas, officials in Texas, not to use it. And yet he was overruled. He said that there was an unusual patch that was put into the software while it was live, and it's highly unusual to put a patch in there. Is that what you're referring to? Tell me how it's done and how these back doors work.
Okay, that's part of it. They can stick a thumb drive in the machine or upload software to it, even from the internet. They can do it from Germany or Venezuela even. They can remote access anything. They can watch votes in real time. They can shift votes in real time. We've identified mathematically the exact algorithm they used and plan to use from the beginning to modify the votes in this case to make sure Biden won. That's why he said he didn't need your votes now. He would need you later. He was right. I mean, in his demented state, he had no filter, and he was speaking the truth more than once, including when he said he had the largest voter fraud organization ever. Well, it's massive election fraud. It's going to undo the entire election. And they can do anything they want with the votes. They can have the machines not read the signature. They can have the machines not read the down ballot. They can make the machines read and catalog only the Biden votes. It's like drag and drop whatever you want, wherever you want, upload votes.
Yeah.
In fact, we've got math in Michigan and Pennsylvania, I think it is, that all of a sudden hundreds of thousands of votes at a 67% ratio for Biden, 23% for Trump, were uploaded multiple times into the system.
And Sydney, you say you have an affidavit from someone who knows how this system works and was there with the planning of it. You believe you can prove this
in
court?
Yes. We have a sworn statement from a witness who knew exactly how it worked from the beginning, why it was designed to work that way, and saw when things started shutting down and they started, stopped counting the votes here. That was the same play that had worked in other countries.
Wow. This is explosive, and we certainly will continue to follow it. Sydney, thank you so much for your work. We will be catching up with you soon. Thank you so much. We'll be watching.
Thank you, Maria. You can be assured Rudy and I will stay on it.
Okay. Thank you.
This is eye-opening, explosive evidence that if true, and if a court of law, whether it be state's court, Supreme Court, whoever, listens to this, I don't see how any way they can do anything but overturn this election, because you will have undermined the will of the people if you certify it, that you've taken the confidence out of millions of voters, millions, and I'm speaking of almost 80 million Trump voters, you will have taken the confidence that their vote ever will count in any other election if you don't overturn this, because it's that serious. And this has nothing to do with Donald Trump's ego being bruised, or he's so upset because he didn't win. This is deliberate fraud. And as I watch the news every day, I see more and more details and parts of the puzzle coming together. This is extremely troubling, very sad. My prayers, my thoughts are with Trump team lawyers, Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, Jenna Ellis, and so many others that are fighting for our republic as we speak right now. I want to take us to another aspect of this election that maybe you hadn't thought of. My Iranian friend, Marzeh Amirzadeh, one of the authors of the book Captive in Iran, who was on death row with her best friend Miriam Rostenbohr over 10 years ago in Iran for handing out Bibles. It was at that time that there was the 2009 presidential election in Iran. And let me just emphasize, there is no such thing as democracy and election in Iran. It's whoever the supreme leader wants. But to make a long story short, the Green Movement within Iran opposing the regime had a candidate named Mousavi who was doing quite well. And on election day, when Ahmadinejad was reelected once again, there was outrage of a rigged election. There were protests in the street. Hundreds of Iranians were wounded and shot and killed for protesting what they believed was a fraudulent election. My friend Miriam and Marzeh witnessed this when they were in Iran. They now live here in the States. And just recently on my Crossing the Desert blog spot, Marzeh wrote an eye-opening article saying the election here in the United States and everything that's happened reminds her of the 2009 fraudulent election in Iran. And she's outraged that something like this could happen in a constitutional free republic as we have. So what I thought I would do to put a perspective on how serious this fraud is that's happening right before our eyes, I want to take us back to Iran in 2009 when they were protesting a similar kind of, if you want, election. Let's listen.
This is the worst unrest the Capitol has seen in a decade, and security forces were everywhere, poised to come in hard at the first sign of protest. Across Tehran, knots of angry opposition supporters gathered at intersections, shouting "Down with the dictator," until riot police quickly chased them away. "I just can't believe this election result. I'm so furious," said Ashbali, as a fresh wave of protesters ran to escape being beaten by police. Young people especially are angered by what they believe to be a rigged election that defeated the reform candidate Mir Hossein Mousavi.
"I feel sad, frustrated."
Just then, another activist arrived, urging people to join the demonstrations. Iran's election commission announced President Ahmadinejad's landslide victory, 62.6% of the vote, with only 33.75% going to the opponent, Mousavi.
Tonight, President Ahmadinejad called the election fair and healthy.
Immediately, Mousavi responded on his webpage, "I won't give in to this dangerous charade." And although there's no hard evidence of vote rigging, he warned, people won't respect those who take power by fraud.
I know why they did this.
Ghazala Hassanzadeh was glued to Facebook today to stay in touch with other young people disgusted by the regime.
Shame on them that they think that they can fool us.
Facebook is young Iranians' main link with Mousavi headquarters, now that text messaging and many websites have been shut down.
We have chosen this as a symbol of our prayer. Where is my vote? Really, where's my vote?
The same question is being asked by millions of other Iranians in cities across the country, and so far they're not satisfied with the answer.
Can you believe it that our country would stoop to the same tactics of fraud and dishonesty as once happened in Iran over 11 years ago? This is a free democratic republic, and what are we behaving like? This is what outraged my Iranian friend Marzeya. She voted for Trump. She believes that Biden and the democratic operatives and the deep state have invalidated and stolen this election to transform this country into a socialist nation. And it shouldn't surprise you. Look at the facts. COVID came along. It was a handy way for early voting, mail-in voting, which caused all of the fraud and deceit and the problems in this election. So I want you to think about what you heard from Maria Bartiromo and Sidney Powell, what you heard about Marzeya Amirzadeh and what she said. In fact, her story is on my Facebook page and on my Facebook website, as well as the Cross in the Desert website. You have to read this story. So that's where we're at right now. We are in an election chaos and crisis. And I want to tell you that this past weekend, millions of Trump supporters in an unprecedented large gathering in Washington, D.C., called the Make America Great Again Rally, refused to give up on President Trump and his legal challenges with this election. I want to take us right now into that rally. I want you to hear the voices of the people.
This is the biggest threat to our republic since the Civil War. I mean, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of people have showed up today. This is the most patriotic spot in the United States of America right now. And the people here have come to deliver one message to President Trump. Do not quit. Is that right?
We support you all the way. Do not concede at all. Zero. This is going to the Supreme Court. We are not taking what the media says for our news at all.
I'm having an issue with people complaining and sitting at home. And honestly, I'm a Christian. So I want Christians to get up off their knees, out of their prayer closet, and get busy.
I'm making a statement that we love him and we're standing with him and we have his back.
We pull you in and you're going to stay in, okay? And the Democrats are going to pay for everything. Okay, Biden, go home and relax. We're going to put you in jail, okay? So just relax, okay?
My message to President Trump is don't give up. Keep the fight going. Don't give up. Do not concede. Fight this to the death if you have to. We're here supporting you. That's why we held this rally. That's why we're holding rallies across across the nation in every capital. So keep going, push forward, don't give up, because we're counting on you.
It doesn't matter what color you are, black, white, Mexican, we are all for you, Trump. We will not concede, neither should you.
There are a lot of people who really, really support him with our hearts, and even a lot of Asians and Koreans are supporting him as well.
How do you like your new Trump hat?
Oh, I love it. Look at all-American Trump hat.
Mexican American, mother of four, president, you are our president. We do trust you. We do believe in you. We see the change. We see the growth in our country. We see the stability. I do sleep better than 4 years ago.
Pro-life is the number one issue that's out here, and I think President Trump has shown that he's the most pro-life Catholic, or not pro-life, that's a Freudian slip, right? He's the most pro-life president we've ever had. He acts more Catholic than some of the Catholics that are supposed to be Catholics, such as Biden and Pelosi.
These are the times that try men's souls.
Yes, it
is. We need warriors. We need warriors. We need American warriors to defend our freedom.
I want to support my president. I love everything he's done for me and my family, put money in our pocket, kept our country together, and made a lot of black folks rich and well better off than 4 years or 5 years ago.
We came up here to Washington, D.C. to show our president some support. He's been fighting for us since day one. He loves America. We love him. We just wanted to show him that we're still fighting for him and that he still has silent majority out here. We want to stop the steal. We want to stand behind our president.
We love Donald Trump. Do not concede under any circumstances. The law and the Constitution is on your side, and the people and the world need you.
If they talk about the U.S. against the immigrants, it's a lie. I believe in our government. I am happy for support you. Let's go to it. Trump 2020.
Stay strong. We're praying for you, and you'll come out the victor.
Trump, I love you. I love you, Trump. Bye. Thank you for everything, President. Thank you.
Wow. And I say wow again. That is beautiful. That is inspiring. It was just a few days ago in Saturday and Sunday when millions of Trump supporters in the Make America Great Again rally came out in the droves. You should have seen the crowds and the visuals, the helicopter shots, and all of these people are absolutely committed to saying to President Trump, you have supported us, you have fought for us, you have spoken for us these past 3.5 years, and now it's our turn to speak up, support, and to fight for you. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And every one of those little sound bites you heard, the individuals talking, some Latinos, some from different backgrounds, expressing their support for President Trump. It's a beautiful thing. You see, because this country is committed to the freedoms that we have, and we believe in the will of the people. We believe in free and fair elections, but we suspect with very strong evidence that there is legitimate fraud taking place to rob the will of the people, to change the election outcome. And this is extremely serious. And I can't tell you how very, very sad it is that it's the saddest day in America that we stoop to the level of a country like Iran to accomplish our purposes. But that's what the deep state and the radical Democratic Party are trying to do. Now, I want to take us to another perspective. I want to take what's happening in our country right now under the scrutiny of the Word of God. Did you know there are really 7 things that God hates? According to Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, there are 6 things which the Lord hates, yes, 7 which are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utter lies, and one who spreads strife among his brothers. Let's take a look at each one of those aspects, the 7 things that the Lord hates. Well, what God hates? This is a good question to ask. The Lord lists 7 different things that he hates. Some think, well, that God doesn't hate anything. He's love. But when you realize that whereas he loves righteousness and holiness, it means that by nature he must hate the opposite of righteousness and holiness, and that is sin. And this is a good list to remember because it reminds us of at least 7 things we absolutely need to steer clear of in life. We do this because we do not want to incur God's wrath for loving something he hates. is how serious this is. Well, Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19, one of the first things that God hates is haughty eyes. Well, what is that? It's a proud look. The eyes, according to Scripture, are the windows of our soul. When the eyes are filled with a haughty look, it is a sure thing, well, that the heart is filled with the same haughtiness of pride. We remember, for instance, from the book of James, that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. It is no stretch then to say that in hating haughty eyes, God truly despises those who look and communicate an arrogance and a pride that shows that they have no respect for God and his ways. Well, that's important, but it's also the second aspect of what God hates that really pertains to this election. God hates a lying tongue. We're talking about lying. We're talking about fraud and deceit. One of the Ten Commandments is not to bear false witness. That means lying is out with God. He is a God of truth, and he wants you and me to speak the truth. When a tongue is a lying tongue, God hates the lies that come from it. Truth opposes lies at every turn. And we can be assured that God opposes the liar whose lying tongue promotes just the opposite of what God loves and is. Well, that's what we have here. The deep state or the establishment or the Democratic Party are saying, well, no, there was no fraud and deceit in this election. You're just mad because your candidate, your sitting president, lost an election that he should have won. He just lost it. You're just mad. Well, but doesn't it also stand to reason the lying tongue is covering up for what they know to be true? And they're lying. The media is a great example of a lying tongue that distorts and spins the truth and lies to our face so many times every day. God hates a lying tongue. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. Here is the one we need to remember. Innocent blood, well, that's murder. God hates murder. Once again, we find one of the things God hates is listed in the Ten Commandments. You shall not murder is a commandment number 5. Well, Jesus goes further. In Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, he tells us even the thoughts and the words that are at the core of a murdering heart, God hates our thoughts. There is an application of this we need to remember. Remember the false god Molech required that his worshipers have their children pass through the fire as a child sacrifice to him. God hated this worship and made it clear that the innocent blood shed in this practice would pay dearly for their sin. Well, I believe we have a similar worship today, and that is in the practice of abortion. This practice is an abomination to God. We have decided that children, usually conceived because of sexual immorality, are saline abortions or puree them within their mother's womb. And if this is not enough, when we wait too long to decide to dispose of one's conceived immorality, we just birth them partially and kill them in a way that we would never consider for a convicted murderer. Can you believe it? How God hates this shedding of innocent blood. That's number 3 that God hates. Number 4, God hates a heart that devises wicked plans. Well, what would be the application for this sin that God hates? God hates a heart that devises wicked plans. In other words, the way to have a coup of the sitting president, the way to use a pandemic, a plandemic, to thwart the will of the people. We're going to use this virus in a way that will accomplish our goals to put this man in office. This is what we need to do. We know that Trump has millions of supporters. We know, compared to the rallies, that Joe Biden hasn't got a candle to light in comparison to that. And so they have to do all they can do to remove the sitting president in office. They tried with the Russian collusion. They tried with the Ukraine. They tried with impeachment. And now this is like the Trump card, if you will, the election and mail-in balloting. And they actually weren't trying to hide it in so many ways, you know, not allowing poll watchers to watch the process and other things. But God hates a heart that devises wicked plans. There are hearts that are thinking of evil. This is true even of us, you and me, when our hearts are set on sin and we hide things. We shouldn't do that. But there are those whose plans involve far more than just one man wanting to sin without getting caught. There are those who devise a wicked plan either in business or in government. These plans will harm thousands, possibly millions, like the election. They do not consider that their wicked plans will do this because they are consumed either by the acquisition of wealth and power. God hates these people because of how their thinking harms others. God hates feet that run rapidly to do evil. God hates a false witness who utters lies. Wow. Lying is mentioned again. It's mentioned in the context of someone who is a false witness on a matter. The first time we talked about it was lying, a lying tongue. The false witness could be someone who speaks lies in a courtroom where the role of perjury comes into play. This would mean a perversion of justice, and God loves justice and righteousness. So we have that. Someone sits in court, swears, perjures himself with lies. This is the lie that Satan told our first parents in the Garden of Eden. You shall surely not die when you eat of this fruit. Has God really said that? And look at the result of them believing that lie. Look how it plunged humanity into sin and rebellion against God. Well, the last one is God hates one who spreads strife among brothers. And, of course, Christians should be united around the truth and should love and forgive each other. So this is an example. These examples are what's happening right now with our election. I think this is a good application of Proverbs chapter 6. One thing very carefully I want to point out about what I just read to you. Let's be careful about finger pointing. We believe we have legitimate fraud and deceit going on, and we're pointing the finger. This is what God's word says. But point the finger back to us. We who love the Lord need to be very careful that we don't engage in the same practices that we're accusing others of. Let's not be hypocrites. Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. And so we need to point the finger back at us and guard our own hearts as well, too. Keeping that in mind, though, I believe Proverbs 6 has a lot to say about what's going on in our election. And maybe make this item part of your next Bible study and discuss it. We need to pray like never before that the truth of what has happened in this election will not only be revealed, and not only will the law stand on our side and do the right thing as a result of this fraud, but we need to also protect the integrity of our country for future elections. We need to do something about the mail-in balloting and all of the things that has led to widespread corruption in this election. The truth must be revealed. The law must intervene and be applied to protect the integrity of our free and fair elections. We need to pray like never before that God's will be accomplished and done in this very chaotic time in our life. Our republic is at stake. And I want to play right now a song that is so beautiful. It's about the love for our country by Coffee Anderson. It's called Mr. Red, White, and Blue. Let's listen.
It's the guts and it's the glory. 100 stripes, 100 stories. It's the Pledge of Allegiance on the 4th of July. It's them handwritten letters from home. It's them sleepless nights alone. It's his newborn baby he left with his wife. Mr. Red, White, and Blue. to the swamps of Louisiana, to the golden coast of California. Uncle Sam's the only family he's got. His purple heartbeat won't stop. And his 18th birthday was the day he was born.
Powerful patriotic music there from Coffee Anderson. I first heard that in a rally on September 12th. It was the day after I retired, and it was a Freedom Rally in St. Charles, the 1776 rally, and he was there playing that song to a soundtrack. It was very powerful. He really united the people there and really inspired them, and I love this song because it talks about our great country. We are the greatest nation in the world, and that's why this is why fraud and deceit has absolutely no place whatsoever in our constitutional republic. You know, this is something that probably has happened many times before, but this time it was on a widespread scale. And again, I want to say this so that I'm not misunderstood. If after every vote is counted and it is shown absolutely, without a doubt, that Joe Biden won, then we as Christians, we as a people of this republic will say, okay, we accept that. But here's the thing, and I say this with great humility. When I see the evidence, I cannot believe that any other decision would be adequate than that this election is invalid. And then we go to the 12th Amendment, where the House of Representatives will each have a vote. Well, guess what? In this situation, we have the majority, and that would mean Donald Trump would be reelected. So there is a path of victory for President Trump. And I consistently hear this again and again from news outlets, president-elect. In the case of what we're going through right here, it is absolutely a shame to say Joe Biden, president-elect, because we have much hard work and legal cases still pending, still states are recounting, and things are happening that cannot allow for this title of president-elect until everything is said and done. I know there is a window of time we have to prove this. Everyone knows that when we watch the news. But here's what I would recommend. Stop paying attention to the main mainstream media. ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN. Here's the one outlet that I believe we can trust. One America Network. One America News. Newsmax. Can I say we trust Fox News? Not like before. They have lost millions of committed viewers. I like and I understand that Sean Hannity, his show, is still one of the reasons I will watch Fox News. Mark Levin, one of the reasons I will continue to watch Fox News. Tucker Carlson, one of the reasons I will continue. Laura Ingraham, another reason. Beyond that, I don't trust them anymore. They have fallen from a strong conservative group to a wishy-washy group, for lack of a better term. And so here's what we're facing. We are facing a crisis like never before. And we have to stand strong for the truth, stand behind our president, and do everything we can to uphold the integrity of our country. Fraud and deceit, not only for this election, but future elections. We must take up the cause and not give in to what the mainstream media is trying to do. They're trying to push Biden and his administration on us. They are looking at this as a joke and a cavalier attitude that they have, that it's not true, that it's all false. Biden is the clear winner. Not so fast. The courts, not the news media. The courts will have the final say. We need, as Christians, to continue to pray for our country, to pray for this election, to pray that the truth will be revealed, to pray that God's will be done. So I want to say thank you to all of us and all of you that have been listening and following this. Thank you for spending time this morning listening to this broadcast on the cross in the desert. I wish you a great week and a great weekend, and I will see you once again on Monday on the cross in the desert. God bless you. Take care of yourself. Stay safe. I will see you on Monday. Lord.